Let's start this morning with a scripture. Take a look at Psalm 111, verse 10. Just the first part of the verse, it's up here on the screen. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That may be familiar to you either from that verse or other verses. Maybe if you didn't know where it is, the fear of the Lord is probably a familiar verse, even if you haven't studied it before. That's an interesting phrase. The fear of the Lord. So we read that, are we supposed to be afraid of God? Does it mean something other than being afraid? It's like, well, I'm afraid a train's going to run over me. What are we as followers of Jesus Christ to make of that term? And that's the name of today's message, the fear of the Lord. That exact phrase, if you search for it, you know, in the quotes, and it's the exact phrase, the fear of the Lord, it occurs 21 times in the New International Version, the NIV. That's what I'm using today. All of those times are in the Old Testament except for one, and that's in Acts chapter 9. Other English versions are going to have a very similar number. So the concept, though, of not just the phrase, but the concept, fearing the Lord, fear of God, things like that, it shows up 216 times in the New International Version, both Old Testament and New Testament. And then if you add in fearing God, the word God with fear, it's going to come up an additional 152 times, again, both in the New Testament and the Old Testament. So the idea of fearing God, fearing the Lord, shows up in the Bible well over 360 times in both Testaments, so it seems pretty important. If it's that important to God to have it in His Word that many times, then it should be important to us to read it, think about it, study it, and what are you trying to say to us, Lord? Those of us that believe that the Word of God is the Word of God, like I believe that, I know many of you do, that it is the very Word of God. Here's something you may or may not know about your English version of the Bible. I read mine in English, I think most of you do too. But most versions will put the word Lord in a different case when referring to the Lord in a specific way. I'll show you what I mean. Let's go back to our verse in Psalm 111. The fear of the Lord, you see it there, see how it starts with a capital L, and then there are smaller caps. They're still in capital letters, but a little bit smaller. That's telling you, that's signaling to you when you're reading your English Bible, that that is the covenant word, the Hebrew covenant word for the name of God. And that name is YHWH. We'll bring that up too. You can see that on the screen. YHWH. How do you pronounce that? We don't know. I can't pronounce it without vowels. So some copyists over the years inserted vowels so that we could say it. So we say it Yahweh. And this name for God, the covenant name for God, is very closely related to what God told Moses that his name was. Hey, who should I say is telling me sending me to say these things to these Egyptians? And he said, tell them that my name is I Am. He said, I Am is sending you. So that Yahweh is very closely related to the name I Am. And by the way, Jews, even today, Orthodox Jews, will not even pronounce the covenant name at all. If they're writing, they'll leave a blank, or they just will omit it when they're speaking. And not to confuse you this morning, but you can watch for this when you're reading your Bible. Sometimes you'll see the Lord capitalized without the small caps. It'll just be capital L, small caps, O-R-D. That is signaling to you that the word behind that is Adonai. You've heard the word for God, Adonai, or the name for God, Adonai. And then if you see the word Lord not capitalized at all lower caps, L-O-R-D, it's someone addressing someone else or speaking about someone else of a higher rank, like my Lord. He is my Lord. That's like human to human, so it's not talking about God. Hopefully I haven't confused you with all that. But today we're going to focus on the fear of the Lord. And you'll see those small caps in all the verses I'll show you today with that phrase. It's, again, the covenant name for God, which is Yahweh, with the way we pronounce it. That exact phrase shows up the most times in the book of Proverbs. And if you'd like to turn to the book of Proverbs, you can do that now or tap your way there. The first one we will look at is in chapter 1, so pretty easy to find. Chapter 1, if you forgot a Bible, don't have one with you, or don't own a Bible, turn to page 542 of those blue pew Bibles. You'll be right there. And if you don't have a Bible of your own, please take one of those. That's what they're there for. Again, I'm using the NIV today. That will match the pew Bibles. Your Bible, if it's a different version, use your favorite version. It should be very close to what I read. So let's look at a verse that is very similar to the verse we saw in Psalms. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Very similar. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. The similar wording there back in Psalm 111, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of understanding, the beginning of wisdom. So that's where you start, but it's not where you end. That's not the end of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. And as with many of the Proverbs, as you read through Proverbs, you'll see this pattern. There is a result in not heeding the teaching that is given in the first part of the proverb. And the second part of our verse here, fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, God is not insulting people, you fool. He's saying, you are foolish. This is a foolish. This is not a good course of action for you to take if you don't do this. And the word fool is used quite a bit in the book of Proverbs. You'll see that. At the heart of rejecting wisdom, God's wisdom, is living for yourself and not living for God, and ignoring the things that he says, the way he wants us to live. And God calls anyone who does not fear him a fool. Again, it's not an insult. He's saying, this is a foolish course of action. Don't be a fool. Don't be foolish. Listen to what God says in his word. I don't know about you, but I was told as a child, by the way, I grew up in a liberal denomination, fairly liberal for the time. And I was told, oh, when you see the word fear, like fear the Lord or the fear of the Lord, the phrase really means respect. Just respect God. That's what it really means. Maybe you've heard that before too. But really, respect is too soft of a word in English. Reverence is better, but it also doesn't encompass everything the word says. There's a reason that almost all English Bibles, and there's some because of their translation philosophy, will do it different, but probably the version that's in front of you right now, if it's not the NIV, there's a reason that all English Bibles translate the Hebrew word in the Old Testament here to the word fear. It's because that's what it says. That is the translation. That is the proper translation. It's not respect. It's not reverence, although that's kind of in there too. Sometimes you will see in the Bible, if you're looking at the Hebrew or Greek, it is translated to reverence depending on the context. Here's a really good definition I found in a Bible dictionary for the words in the original languages of Hebrew and Greek that come out fear of the Lord. A feeling of profound reverence conceived in fear. I'm not saying that's the bottom line of, now you know a Hebrew word. But a feeling of profound reverence conceived in fear. So when it comes to God, you could think of it like this. You understand that God is to be feared because of who he is and what he is capable of. And once you know him, once you recognize that fear, you know him, you come in covenant or come into covenant with him, that becomes a deep, profound reverence for him. It's still conceived in fear. So it begins with true fear, understanding who God is, knowing what he can do. And hopefully you enter into a covenant with him. And it becomes reverence and relationship. You never lose the original fear, though. All analogies and metaphors fall short. And when you're trying to describe something that's complex, and so you use an analogy for whatever reason, it could be anything, but especially when we use these things for God, they fall short because maybe the thing is just too complex for our little 8-pound brains to understand. But an analogy that I like to use when I'm talking about the fear of the Lord, the fear of God, is bears. And so many of you know that Diana and I lived in Alaska back in the olden days of the 90s. Some of you think it really was the olden, you guys think of the olden days, right? You weren't born. Some of you think it felt like, oh, that's not long ago. Well, we really did live in the olden days of the 90s, and then we were able to go back there and visit in 2019 on an anniversary trip. So if you've been there, or if you've been somewhere that have a lot of bears, I know we have bear sightings here in Missouri, but if you go somewhere in a recreational area that has a big bear population, you are familiar with what I'm about to say. So you go to a hotel, maybe a public park, a trail, a nature center, brochures at stores are all over the place in Alaska, and they give you tips on dealing with bears. And you should read the brochure, really. There are many, many bears in Alaska and a few other places in the United States. Here is how you and I want to see a bear. The bear is serene with the cubs, it's a mama bear, doing serene bear things in their serene little thing. And isn't that nice? Yeah, that's how you want to see the bear. And they are beautiful animals. Has anybody seen a bear in person? Not the zoo? Oh, yeah. Where'd you see it? What? Tennessee. Someone in Tennessee? Wow, that's Colorado. Okay, yeah, get bears in Colorado. Missouri. Who saw one in Missouri? All right. Yeah, that's a rare sighting, but we see them in Missouri. But they are a beautiful, what did I miss? Last week you saw a bear in Missouri, where? Oh, okay. That's getting close. I don't know, where was I? All right, they really are, they're beautiful animals. If you see one, they're majestic, and it's a thrill to see a bear in the wild. I've seen plenty in the zoo, but to see a bear in the wild, it's just, man, it's awe-inspiring. But we know also that the bear has the power to kill. They have tremendous power, and they can kill you. Mostly, bears will leave you alone. They're not really interested in human beings. As long as you have a healthy fear of bears, and you know what to do when they might be close by. Now, I picked that picture because, mama bear and the cubs and everything. And she will look like that and not bother you as long as you are not bothering her or especially her cubs. Now, as long as you don't accidentally or even on purpose, that'd be foolish, get between a bear and her cubs. It's not a good thing to do. So even if you're just going along a trail, we'll pretend this aisle is a trail and mama has gone over here and the bears have gone over here. Even if you accidentally walk up on that trail, you're going to have trouble. When you do that, by the way, you're going to have a bear looking like this. When we lived in Alaska, we used to go to this park. It was about 15 minutes from our home. We went there several times. They had trailheads. We walked some of those before. And while we were there, not while we were in the park, but while we lived there, there was a husband and wife, and they were hiking on the trails. And my guess is, I don't know this for sure because you can accidentally do this, but my guess is they weren't likely following the guidelines. You're supposed to be, talking loud, singing, have a bell or something like that to let them know that you're there. But for whatever reason, they crossed between the mother bear and the cubs. And so husband and wife climbed separate trees. Well, you know that bears can climb trees faster than we can. And the bear picked the husband to go after. And I'm being careful here. And the wife could only just watch in helplessness. And I'm keeping it nebulous for our youngest friends in here. But you understand what happened. And so even though they're beautiful to look at, a healthy fear of bears is a very good thing. You might get to see one if you're in Alaska or even Missouri, and it will be one of the top thrills of your life. Understand the power of the bear. Respect the bear. So Diane and I went on trails and we went on hikes and went to parks and so forth. There was not one time where we ever felt afraid of the bears, but we made sure that we watched for them and we followed what the brochure said. Usually we talked loud or sang. We didn't do the bell thing. But this morning, I'm not talking about bears. We're talking about God, who has the power to do far more than a bear can do to you. We're talking about the fear of the Lord. When you have a healthy fear of God, that gives way to a deep reverence for Him. You're in covenant with Him, which is the intent of talking about the fear of the Lord. The book of Proverbs is a book of wisdom. It's God's wisdom. And very quickly, when you're reading Proverbs, wherever you're reading, not just this morning, don't treat it as like a magic formula. If you do this, this will happen every time. it's saying things in a general way, how life in this world generally works and things that are generally true. There are always exceptions. I'm going to show you three things in Proverbs this morning that can happen in your life when you have a healthy fear of the Lord. And they all have to do with the word life. You'll see that in a minute. Remember, only those in covenant with Him can properly call Him Yahweh, the Lord. The first one is in Proverbs 10:27. The fear of the Lord adds length to life, but the years of the wicked are cut short. The Bible here says, the fear of the Lord adds length to life. And then, as many Proverbs do, it gives the negative side as well. The wicked are cut short. Now, under the new covenant with Jesus Christ, I don't think it's a stretch to say that living in covenant with Yahweh, who is Jesus, and fearing Him, knowing Him, having this relationship with Him, adds length to our lives, even in the sense of eternity. I recognize that is not the original intention here, because there was no new covenant when this was written. But our life is lengthened past this life all the way into eternity. Think about it that way. Proverbs 14:27. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, turning a person from the snares of death. So here we see, healthy fear of the Lord, being in covenant with Yahweh, is life-giving, a fountain of life. And yes, we have a mission, a calling on our lives. We are to give Jesus our everything. We are to reach the lost and tell them about Him, absolutely. But you know, Jesus still wants us to have an abundant life here. There are good things in this life, even in the midst of hard things. Enjoying His creation, including a safe distance when you're bear watching. I remember the first time I saw a humpback whale, like in person. We were on a boat, and this thing just came out of the water. They're massive animals, and you've probably seen them on TV. But when they're 100 feet away from you on the boat, it's just whoa. And I remember just being inspired with awe, or filled with awe, when I saw this whale come out of the water, and then our boat is rocking with the waves that it caused. Simple things. Time with family. Riding roller coasters. That's on my list of an abundant life. Laughing with children. Getting together with old friends and picking up where you left off. It might have even been 20 years or more. Serving and loving people. A fountain of life. There's so much good life to have here, even amongst the hard things. So the fear of the Lord can lead or bring a fountain of life. The third one is similar. It's still talking about life, but a different take, a little different angle on it. Proverbs 19:23. The fear of the Lord leads to life. Then one rests content, untouched by trouble. Now, many of you here would say you have a healthy fear of the Lord. You understand the term and what it's all about. And yet everyone here in this room, including myself, can say we have had troubles in the past, in the present, and we know we'll have some in the future. But look deeper into what this verse is saying. It's not exempting you from troubles in this life. The fear of the Lord leads to a life with Him, a relationship. And we can really be content in every situation. Not that we are untouched by trouble in the sense that it'll never come. You'll just be, you know, you'll have a guard around you. No bad things will happen. But that we can rest in the middle of trouble. We can really be content. Even when the worst might be happening around us, we can still sense contentment. Now, we may be feeling anxiety and worry and all of that too, but there is a contentness that we can all experience if you know Jesus. We know we are safe. Those of us that know Jesus, we know we are safe with God, no matter what happens. And you know that one day you will live with Him forever. And this world, no matter what it throws at you, it really holds nothing over you. And it's just temporary. Everything here is temporary. Jesus talked about troubles for believers in a very realistic way. I mean, He shot straight with the disciples when He said something in John 16:33. Just the second part of the verse, here it is. In this world, you will have trouble. He's talking to the disciples. They're not going to be exempt from trouble. And some of you know what happened to many of the disciples. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus says he has overcome the world. He didn't say, oh, if you happen to have some trouble come your way. He says, when you have trouble, when we will have trouble, or when we have trouble. But that he has overcome all troubles already ahead of time, and no one can take us away. Nobody can snatch away those that Jesus knows that are in relationship with him. So my hope today is, if nothing else, that this verse encourages you, especially if you're dealing with something right now, or you know maybe something's coming up, you're not sure where it's going to go, that this verse really builds you up today. He's already overcome what you're going through. He's already overcome what you might go through in the future. So I've showed you three things from Proverbs that when we have a healthy fear of the Lord, and again, they all talk about life. Jesus is life. Jesus brings life. He's the author of life. So the first one was, the fear of the Lord adds length to life, including eternity. The second one, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life and turns you away from death. And the third one is, the fear of the Lord leads you to life, and a life that you can rest in even during hard times and experience contentment. Jesus talked about the fear of the Lord. He did not use that exact phrase anywhere in the Gospels, but he did talk about it in Matthew 10, verse 28, and this is something Jesus said, so we have to take it seriously. It's straightforward, another straightforward verse from him. Let's take a look at it. I think it's one of the most profound and even jarring verses in the Bible. This is just the first part of the verse for now. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Do not be afraid of those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. It's very sad what happened in Kansas City at the Chiefs parade and gathering at Union Station Wednesday. And you've seen the pictures and videos. I'm not putting any of them up here. Terrible scene. I've been to Union Station myself, along with Diana, many, many times. And our kids have been there. And I know exactly when they said, oh, it's, you know, in the parking lot, I know where that was, or that is. And it's an absolutely horrible, horrible thing that happened. And sometimes it's hard to get your head around it. A day of celebration. And then this, it's senseless. It's so senseless. It didn't need to happen. Many of the people shot, around half or maybe a little more, were juveniles. And then there's one woman dead. She's a mom. She's a wife. And her name was Lisa Lopez Galvin. She's only 43 years old. Young, young woman. She was there with her son, one of her kids. And that woman's family, her husband, her kids, her extended family, they will forever be changed in this life. They will never be the same in this life. Her co-workers, she's very highly thought of at her job at the radio station she worked at, they will be forever changed. And the people that walked by or saw her shot, that saw her laying there, including her son, forever changed. And yet, that is not the most potential horrible thing to happen to her or any of us. As horrible as it is, was, and will be in the future for many, many people, there's something worse. Second part of the verse. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. And I know this story is very fresh. I struggled if I should use it or not. But it makes it real, because we're talking about real human beings with souls. Now, I don't know if this lady was that died there, was if she knew Jesus or not. I sure hope she did. And I don't mean to be cold, but this is the truth. This is the truth of the gospel. It's the truth of God's word. If she died not knowing Jesus, she will live in an unimaginable, permanent eternity that none of us could even conceive of. If she died without Jesus, the truth is the full wrath of God will be poured out on her. And the only reason it's not going to be poured out on you and me is because it was poured out on Jesus at the cross. I don't like to think about it either. I know I just made a whole bunch of you uncomfortable. I'm uncomfortable saying it, but it's the truth. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all understanding, the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of knowledge. But once you know the fear of the Lord, it is not the end of understanding. The fear of the Lord should lead you to the love of Christ. It's on the screen. The fear of the Lord should lead you to the love of Christ while never forgetting the fear of the Lord. And so I ask you today, has the fear of God, the fear of the Lord, led you to Jesus? Only you can answer that. If it hasn't or you're not sure, you can take care of that today. You can know him today. There'll be people up here at the end of the service, prayer team. I'll be up here. Happy to talk to you about that. It would give me no greater joy than to talk to you about Jesus. Or you can call me sometime this week, text me. For those of you here that know the fear of the Lord, you understand this. And the deep reverence that you have for him because of the relationship you have for him. And that fear, you know, it drove you to the love of Christ. Man, I want to challenge you today, a very simple challenge, and some of you may say this in your prayers every day or often. My challenge is to thank him today for your salvation. Thank Jesus for taking on the full wrath of the Father on the cross in your place. And I'll give you a moment to do that in just a few seconds. Consider what God has done for you. The fear of the Lord should lead you to the love of Christ. I hope that is true for you today. I'm going to pray, give you some time, and then pray again. So let's do that now. Father, we thank you for coming to earth as a person, living a life like we live, knowing its ups and downs and everything that's hard in the world and everything that's joyful in the world. And I thank you, Lord, that you were willing to go to the cross and take on the penalty for our sins. And we have no way of conceiving what you received when the full wrath of God was poured upon you. We can only thank you for it, Lord. We thank you that you were alive today, that you rose from the grave, and we're talking to a Jesus that's alive and that we will see one day. Church, just take a moment to thank him for your salvation, if you know you have it. And if you're not sure, consider what you need to do. If you need to talk to somebody, I'll give you a moment now. Lord, the words thank you seem inadequate, and I suppose they are, but that's all we have. Just to thank you with our words, but also to thank you with our lives in response to what you've done for us. We could never pay you back, Lord. I thank you that you've called it a debt paid. You paid it for us. I pray for any friends that need to make sure where they are with Jesus, with you, Jesus, and if they need to take any action on that. Father, we thank you for showing us all the verses, not just the ones we read today, about having the fear of you, the understanding of who you are and the power that you hold. And yet in all of that, you love us. You care for us. And I thank you for that on behalf of all of us. We pray these things, all of them, in the name of Jesus. Amen.